You hear people talking about living a life of faith. Now, that's all fine and dandy. You and I can talk about it too, until, of course, the going gets tough. Then we start wondering, can I do this? And the simple answer is, well, actually, yes, you can. I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to the program today as we continue with the next message in this series, Having Faith That Moves Mountains. The most vulnerable moment of my life is one that I recall as though it were yesterday. It was when I, with 30 or so other young men, pulled up in a bus at the Royal Military College Duntroon in Canberra, Australia's capital. It was the 17th of January, 1977, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Over 7,000 candidates had applied for entry into the four-year degree course to train as an officer in the Australian Army. 148 were accepted. 4 years later, 62 of us graduated. But this day we arrived at a place that we'd all dreamed of. It was an exciting day, the beginning of a new life. But when the bus pulled up by the parade ground and the white headquarters building with a red roof, a severe-looking man in a uniform boarded the bus. Three stripes on his arm told us he was a sergeant. He wore a red sash and carried an oversized pay stick under his arm. I was later to discover that he was one of the six drill sergeants. He cast his eyes around the fresh faces of the 17 and 18-year-olds on that bus in a superior sort of a way, clearly looking at us with contempt. And this is what he said to us, word for word, I shall never forget it. My name is Sergeant Slaney, and you're going to learn to hate me. You know something? He was right. It was at that point that it struck home. Not only was I starting something new and exciting, but I'd voluntarily laid down many of my freedoms in order to follow my dream of becoming a commissioned officer in the Australian Army. From the day I marched in, I was subject to a tough code of discipline. As I lay in my bed that night, like I suspect many of the other colleagues that went that night, I quietly wept at the realisation that this was a scary place. What ensued over the next 4 years was an incredibly difficult time, tough discipline, physical training that left us bruised and bleeding and exhausted, incredibly long hours, carefully applied psychological pressures, all a deliberate process to sort the wheat from the chaff. The first hint that we had that this process was of any benefit at all was when during the university holiday breaks, we each travelled home to our parents and caught up with our old school friends. We'd come back to Duntroon after that break and marvel at the immaturity of our schoolmates. It turned out that we were growing up fast. Looking back on it, I can see what it was all about. They sawed us all off at the knees. They put us all in the same uniform. They made us all the same. And then they developed us into the young leaders they wanted us to be. As the months and the years went by, something strange happened. We developed an esprit de corps, a quiet sense of confidence that we could do anything they threw at us. It was something that set us apart from other people our age, a kind of strength of character, a quiet resolve to get the job done, a knowledge that one day we may well have to put ourselves in harm's way for our country. And whether it was rappelling out of helicopters or going for a run dragging a 5-ton truck on the end of a thick rope or going hungry on survival training or practising 8 hours a day on a scorching parade ground for a special parade, whatever it was, we just knew we could make it through. It became an unshakable confidence, one born not out of arrogance or self-importance, but out of a knowledge of self that had been forged in the furnace of one of the toughest training regimes on the planet. Each one of the 62 young men that graduated as young officers on that hot day in December 1980 walked out of that place with that same knowledge, that come what may, they would make it through. Now, I wouldn't wish those 4 years on my worst enemy, I have to tell you, and yet I wouldn't swap them for the world. It's time to start talking about faith, real faith, living out the sort of faith that moves mountains. But as we look back at stories of Abraham and the lepers and other stories that we've looked at over the last few weeks, it would be so easy at this point to pull over and say, you know something, I look at Abraham's life, I look what those lepers went through, I look at what I'm going through in my life, it's just too hard. I don't want to go on. And yet, you know, life is life. The journey's the journey. We all travel over mountaintops and we all go through swamps. We all revel in the cool, fresh water of a stream, and then we wander hungry through the parching wilderness. These experiences are universal. Male or female, young or old, black or white, rich or poor, we all travel through those places. Isn't it crazy? We think sometimes it's just us. Let me tell you, get a revelation today. It is everyone. And our choice is either to travel through them with faith or with a sense of hopelessness. Our choice is to wallow in self-pity or to use the journey we've been given to live a life worth living. It's a choice. Of the 148 young men that arrived at Duntroon in January 1977, fully 86 walked away during the four-year course. That's over half. Not only did they miss out on the prize at the end, but they missed out on the development of a character that would have carried them through a lifetime. So many people begin walking with Jesus, and one day they realize it's just plain hard going. One day it becomes intensely uncomfortable, uncertain, uninviting, un-everything, and they decide to give up. It's something Jesus talked about. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it, for the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. And there are few who find it." That's Matthew chapter 7. But just like military training, there's a point to it all. Suffering isn't pointless. There is a clear purpose that God has for taking us through the difficult places of life. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, writes Paul, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And this isn't a hope that disappoints us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us, Romans chapter 5. Can you believe it? Paul here isn't writing about grumbling or complaining or weeping. He's writing about boasting in our sufferings, boasting, because he knows there's a point. Suffering produces endurance. Any athlete will tell you that. They train tirelessly. Their bodies scream at them to stop. They keep going. And before long, they can run the marathon. Endurance produces character. As we discovered as young men at that military college, the longer this went on, the more it brought out the best in our characters. That long 4 years produced young leaders. And it's an amazing thing that character begins to hope, in the quiet confidence of knowing that we can make it through the gloom and doom. Hopelessness is replaced by a certain hope in a certain future. Now, we were hoping in ourselves back then and in a military system and in all sorts of things. But what Paul is writing about here is that when we hope in God, it will never be misplaced. And just to seal the deal, we'll know that we know that we know that we know, because the Holy Spirit, God himself, has been poured into our hearts. Jesus came, my friend, to set you free. And when he sets you free, you will be free indeed. The heart that grumbles at the hand that it's been dealt isn't free at all. It's diseased. It's a heart that yearns constantly for better circumstances, not seeing the sickness that lies within. The heart that embraces the journey with all its suffering, with all its character development, and yet with the knowledge that there is a purpose to it all, that's the heart that's been set free. Like it or not, sometimes the going in life gets tough. It's so easy to be filled with faith and overflowing in hope when everything's going fine. But when life takes a turn for the worse, when the pressure's really on, our hope seems all too often to evaporate. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of my latest life application booklet. It's called More Hope Than You Can Ever Imagine, because his word is alive and active. Amen. So I'm praying that through this booklet, he'll fill you to overflowing with a rock-solid, certain hope available to you in Christ and Christ alone. You can request your free copy at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.